shine a light. Shine a light. That was something I used to say a lot as a young father. I had a baby when I was 23 years old. And as that child grew up, I wanted to make sure that my daughter didn't hear things from her father's mouth that I didn't want her to reproduce. Anybody with me? Yeah. So if I was doing some work around the house, if I was fixing something, if there was some like hammering I had to do, and I hit myself whilst hammering, instead of saying something else, I would say, shine a light. And I thought I was being righteous. I thought I'd got it right. And until my daughter tells me later on in life, is she thought that was a cuss word as well. My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And our series launches today, Shine a Light. It's a three-week series of how Christ shines through the Word, shines in our world, and out of our own lives. Shine a light. God has always wanted to shine a light in our lives. Sometimes there's things in our lives that shine for us or encourage us or increase our energy or help us to be re-energized. Like when your cell phone is on 20% and you're dying to get that thing charged up. You know, what are the things that increase our cell phone battery to go higher? What brings it from 20% to 50%? If you're down and low and you're wondering like whether something's going to shine for your life, whether this God's going to give you some sort of energy, what has God given you in order for you to shine? What light in your life is there that's going to help you increase your cell phone battery level each and every day? Now, our series coincides with our Vacation Bible School series that we're starting, Stella, and each day the kids are going to say, shine a light. And that's going to be a big, big part. And on campus, we're on week two of Camp Cumber. And what gives me energy, what increases my levels, is having 350 kids here in the sanctuary on a Monday morning. That shines a light in my life. Amen. And having children around, having energy in our sanctuary, increases my level, or my cell phone level, if you like. And when children don't increase my level of energy or shine a light in my life, I got these guys. These guys help me out. And maybe you have some of these. Maybe you have some dogs like this. Yeah, and I have these dogs, and these guys give me a light in my life. The one on the right is Luna. She's like the OG. She's the original. She's the, like, kind of calm and patient. She, you know, takes commands as suggestions. You know, if you say to her, hey, Luna, do this, she thinks about it for a while, and then she'll do it. She's kind of patient. The one on the left, Harry and Luna, you get it? Harry on the left, he's kind of rambunctious. He's impulsive. He's the kind of dog who's like always there, very, very diligent. He's kind of simple-minded. So yeah, he's kind of like the Keith in the family of the fairy people, you know. My kids have already put Harry in that category. And when I see these dogs interacting, when I see them running in the park in the morning, when I see them fighting with each other and play fighting with each other, this gives me energy. Anybody else agree? This gives me light in my life. And cats too. I'll be inclusive of cats. Yeah, I know you guys are all thinking that. But God has always wanted us to have life and light in our life from the very beginning, God has always wanted us to have life in all of its abundance. And he's wanted us to shine his light into our lives, no matter where we are in our lives. He's given us creation, the created order. He's given us flora and fauna, and he's given us animals so that we might have life in all of its abundance, and we might trust in that light. Now, we start our series in John at the very beginning of John's gospel, the fourth gospel, and the stories of Jesus, the accounts of Jesus. But John starts at the very beginning and gives reference to the very beginning of creation. We're going to go there, John chapter 1, if you've got your Bibles with you. I want you to follow along today because you're going to see something different you haven't seen before. John chapter 1, 1 through 5. You can open it on your cell phone if you have that too. Here we go. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. Now, the word there is logos, which actually logos is a Greek word which John was using to use so it connected not just with religion, but with philosophy too, with Greek philosophy. And logos means gospel, it means cause, it means the very locus of what's going to come next. So John is saying that logos was there in the beginning with God. And what was he doing? Existing. God was existing with word. And he existed in the beginning with God. So logos and God are there together before creation even happened. Now, this word, logos, means word, as the author has depicted. It means word, and word is not even foreign to us. Back in the 80s, we used to say word. I can't really do it because I'm English, but, you know, you used to say word, like that's a good word, you know. And people would say word as, and that's a good thing to say. In religious circles, in preaching and in Christianity, often people will say, oh, that's a good word. And it doesn't mean the one word. It doesn't mean logos. It means the very concept or group of words that you are saying are a good word. That's a good word. I want to be around you because what you are saying is good for my life. It shines light in my life. That is a word. So this word logos is something that we can relate to. It's word. And so verse 3 says they got together, word and God, and created everything through him, through word. And nothing was created except through him. I'll read that again. You may have heard this verse before. I never really read it this close. God created everything through him, word. And nothing was created except through him, word. So God and word created creation altogether. So created the universe and the world together. Now we'll just stick with the world because our little brains can only handle that on a Sunday morning. We'll just stick with the world. What did he create? 71% of the earth is covered in water. He created all of the flora and all of the, let's just stick with trees, not all the other plants that we have going on. Let's just stick with the trees in the world. How many trees are there? 73,000 trees. In Florida alone, there's 262 types of different trees. I just thought it was saw palmetto. But no, there's all sorts of trees everywhere. And God created them for us to thrive. And all these different species of dogs and cats, beaches, God created them. And obviously, we've got a lot of beaches around here, 162 beaches in Florida. And God created them, and word, God and word created them so that we might have life. And the light would be shown to us that we might see something of God through his created order, that we might know life in its abundance. If you would imagine God and Word for a moment discussing how they were going to create the world, this world that we live on. And God saying, I'll create the places where these things are going to grow, these where they're going to live. I'll create a pathway for these things to move along in life and the pipelines for trees and animals to grow in the future. And if you would, Word, because God was with Word, Logos, if you would actually breathe life into these things, then I think the world can go on for another 2023 years, whatever it is. So God and Word get together, and God creates it, and Word breathes life into this creation, and it starts to live. And we see it through waving trees and dogs running in fields and hearing their feet on the ground. And this gives us life. Seeing this gives us a little jiggle in our hearts. It lifts up your cell phone battery level to another 10%. I was a little down the other day. I was walking through the neighborhood with my wife and dogs and walked across the street 11 miles from here, and a school bus goes by in my neighborhood. And I hear the familiar sound of the window, you know, the top window, when it pulls back. And I hear this shout out the window, Pastor Kate! One of the kids is hanging out the window, and she's got her arm hanging out the window, waving like this. She pulls her arm back in and says, it's Pastor Kate. And they both shout out the window, Pastor Kate! I don't even know who it was. It was somebody from Westlake or from Camp Cobra or from Robin's Nest. I don't know. But my energy level went up immediately. Julie's laughing, we're grinning. Like Julie says, do you know what that is? Like, I have no idea. But my energy level went up. It gave me life. And it shined on me like I never was expecting. So God and Word create the world. Now, we don't know who Word is yet. He said it three times, Word and God living together. Logos and God are together creating the world. We don't know who Word is yet. And I think you guys have a good idea who it is. God and Word are creating, doing what we like to do, create. Verse 4 says, the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to who? Everyone. So from the very beginning, God always, and this is obviously referenced all the way back to creation, from the very beginning, God always wanted you to have life in all its abundance. And he wanted to shine that in your life. Now, sometimes we have to be a bit more attentive than other times. Sometimes we don't see it. We're clouded. We've got like little blinkers on and we just walk on like, I need my stuff kind of thing. Other times we're smelling the roses and our lives are open like, oh, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we need something to shine really bright in our lives in order to see what God wants for us. We need to pay attention to actually what God's created. God has always wanted us to have life in all of its abundance. And he and Word created it. Verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. We're going to read this together. Let's say this together. It's on the screens here. This is really important. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. You might be going through some dark times. There might be some darkness going on in your life right now. There might be some circumstances, some situations, some instances going around in your family, in the circles of friends that you're in your church. And you think, can this get any darker. Can this situation be any worse? Why does this always happen to me? Why can't I catch a break? And all of a sudden, there's a pinhole of light in the darkness. There's a pinhole coming to you, and you never thought it would come from that source. You never thought that it's not from the preacher or the woman that stands at the front. It's not from that government official, but it's from this one person that you never thought would give you that little pinprick of light. It's like, oh, if only I'd have seen that a little louder, if only I'd seen that a little brighter. And I know some of you are going through some darkness right now. And I'm sorry. But I believe those of us who follow God, those of us who believe that God can shine brighter in the darkness, I believe that you know things are going to get better, amen? I believe that you know that those of us who decide to follow God and His word for our life, we can see some brightness in the darkness. Of course, the person we're talking about, the word, who is it? Verse 17 says this. John talks about John the Baptist for a while. He talks about God becoming flesh in the word. And then finally, verse 17, he says, the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the word. He always was in the beginning. He was when he came to earth 2023 years ago, and he is now as he dwells in our heart for those who have decided to follow him. And this light shines brightly in our lives. This light shines brightly, even sometimes when we don't even know it. This light is showing to us. And Jesus comes in and amongst our darkness. And this verse 5 is really important. A friend of mine, Matthew Hartsfield, likes to say that when Jesus comes into your life, he punches holes through the darkness. He punches holes through the darkness so his light shines through. When Jesus is Lord of your life, when you ask him to be your savior, it punches holes into the darkness. When you decide that this is the way that you want to go, you want to live your life in a way that follows Jesus and his teaching, it shines a light, not just in your life, but in others. And we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks, how that happens. But God has always wanted you to know this life and have life in abundance. Because love and faithfulness came through the word. And the word is Jesus Christ. The Logos is Jesus Christ. It always has been, always will be, and always will be the best source of life. He gave life to creation. He gave life to the beaches, to the plants, to Harry and Luna, so that we might have life. Sometimes just hearing the dog's feet trampling on the ground go past you can give you a little memory of how much you don't control and how much God does control. And this sheds life into our light. And because Christ comes, he shines light in that creation. Shine a light. Shine a light. It's not a cuss word. Shine a light is about punching holes in the darkness. Christ punches holes in the darkness through our lives. And when we know Logos, when we know Word, when we know Jesus, it punches holes in our darkness. And he wants you to have all of that life in abundance through flora, through fauna, through creation. He wants you to have life. How many of you want more life and more light? By a show of hands. How many of you want more life and more light? Yeah, I do. I want to see more life and more light. So today we're going to do some rememberizing. Rememberizing is like remembering, only remembering the verses that you forgot to remember. So we're going to do some old-fashioned word remembering. We've got some scriptures for you here. These scriptures, I want you to pore over them this week. And I want you to like take a picture of them as they're on the screen or write them down. If you're old school, you can do that or tap them into your phone. These are scriptures that regurgitate to us and help us understand the kind of life Christ wants for you. Here's the first one. Our first scripture is John 14:6, so a little further on. Jesus told them what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's talking to the disciples. They're asking him, how can we know life? How can we know life in all of its abundance? How can we know the light that you are talking about? And Jesus says what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Knowing Jesus' word is life. This gives us the best life we can possibly ever imagine. There might be other types of lifestyle out there. There might be other kind of lives that people ascribe to and say, this is where I'm going. This is where I believe. But profoundly here, we state that Jesus Christ is the way of life. Amen? So you got that one. Here's the next one. John chapter 17, verse 3. It's a bit further on. How do we have eternal life? This is eternal life. To know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, so God and Word, the only true God and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. This is how we have life in eternity. So that's life now in abundance while we're living here on earth, and life later after we pass and after we go on to be with God. We have life in abundance. And the last one, my favorite one, John chapter 10, verse 10. When people telling you you're not having a good life, when people say, oh, you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, you can't do this, you can't do that, you mustn't do that, or yeah, I grew up in church, I can't do this. Give them this verse. In fact, engrave this into your head. John chapter 10, verse 10. Say those words with me, they're really easy. John chapter 10, verse 10. Remember this. Remember this. This is a really simple verse. You don't have to go to seminary to remember this. You don't have to like be this deep scholar to remember this. The scripture is really easy to remember when we've got these kind of verses to deal with. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life in all of its abundance. In abundantly. The thief comes. Jesus is talking about Satan, who is the thief that comes and tries to deal and destroy the hope and joy that you have. Evil comes in different ways. Evil comes in systemic evil. Evil comes in the desires of our hearts, and evil comes through Satan himself. But even in amongst that, Jesus comes and punches holes in the darkness. Amen. He punches holes through the kind of evil we're dealing with. And he says, I have come that you might have life in all of its abundance. My wife and I have been saying this verse to each other for the last 28, 29 years. It's been engraved on our hearts, engraved on our wrists and on our minds. And God wants you to have life in all of its abundance. He wants you to know that through believing in the Word, that he created the order of the world so that you might have life, and that life might be a light in your life. If you want to experience that in your life, say with me, amen. Amen.